It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. 766-1400 is the number. In the north, 775-766-1400. That is a call from anywhere in the state of Nevada. Number again, this hour brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. Alex White is here from South Point Studios. It's Cofield. James is running the show. Lots of college football, lots of NFL to get to. We'll get back into the storm that is coming with Shedeur Sanders. Later in the show, actually, we're going to talk to our new morning show here on ESPN Las Vegas, Clint Yates, national host from out of L.A. He'll be joining us around 5:45, so stick around for that as we talk some L.A. sports and some Vegas sports as well. Big Four time.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four, number four.
Well, Alex and I are absolute junkies on college football and the CFP. We both understand what it is. It's a TV show, so I'm not going to go crazy over the rankings. But I do think it's kind of, you know, now we're getting down to the nitty-gritty in spots where they've put certain schools. Could they jump a school seven spots in the final week? I guess. You're kind of getting within hailing distance here of what's going to happen. So, first off, as we broke down the top 15 or so, and let me find it again here and read you the top of the rankings into the 15 area, Ohio State 1, Indiana 2, Texas A&M 3, Georgia, Texas Tech, Ole Miss 4, 5, 6, Oregon, Oklahoma, Notre Dame is number 9, 10 is Alabama, 11 is BYU, 12 is Utah. That's TV show ask right there, right? The Holy War, and Utah's probably playing better football now, but didn't beat Utah the meeting just a couple weeks ago. Miami is 13. And then you've got Vanderbilt, USC, Georgia Tech, ACC not being repped super high, but Miami is 13. And then schools like Michigan, Virginia, get Virginia out of there. Tennessee's 20, Illinois is 21. Only one group of six representation with Tulane at 24. Where's James Madison? That needs to be remedied. Where's North Texas?
Right.
So I wish they would put out like a top 35 so we kind of know where those schools are. But we got some more issues to get into. First, let's start with that ACC story. They're in a pickle here.
They are. I mean, you said get Virginia out of here. They might be the winner.
Well, you can win the ACC title game and not get in.
That is very true.
Now, it's not setting up that way because the CFP refuses to rank any other group of six schools anywhere close to what the third ACC school, which I think is ridiculous. James Madison should be popping up now, and that's a Sun Belt school. I thought there was a scenario here where Miami could miss the title game, win out. Really what you needed was Duke to win out, win the title, and a Duke team with four losses could actually be snubbed for James Madison, and you could still pick Miami, which that would be the end of title games, which, frankly, the title games are probably coming to an end here in the next 3 or 4 years.
I could see that.
A lot of schools don't want to make the title game. What's the point?
I mean, look at
a lot
Ohio
of fans
State
don't want to make the title game
year.
Outside of pride. Like, what's?
Yeah, it benefited Ohio State. They got that extra week off, and then they went on a run to win it all. So, it is tricky. I kind of thought it was setting up for that too, but then Duke did fall short to Virginia, actually. So, I don't know. Does Miami still have a shot? Typed it all out last week, and they need a lot of help.
They got some of it, though.
Yeah.
But there's also the possibility here that Virginia loses again down the stretch. Georgia Tech loses again down the stretch. Miami has to play Pitt. They're in a spot, with VTech? I mean, that would be a big upset, but you never know. I still think that James Madison thing is a possibility, that the champ from the ACC just looks so bad on paper, whoever wins the title game, that, hell, I don't know what Pitt's chances are. I'll have to pull up the whole tiebreaker site thing. But after the coach of Pitt, Narduzzi, said, I don't care if we lose 100-3, and you know, they lost pretty close to that. They got blown off the field. Would the CFP committee have the cojones to go, you know what, this conference, just it's not, it ain't it this year. Sorry. We're letting one of the little guys in instead.
Here's the thing, though. Georgia Tech, they have Pitt. They are at home this week. And then they have Georgia on a semi-neutral. So that game doesn't count. And they can only really make themselves look better, right, if they hang around. And now Georgia's top four in the country. So I think as Georgia Tech pulls this off, I think ACC's pretty safe.
Okay.
But anybody else, I do think you could make a case. Which I think they're in the driver's seat right now, right? Even though
I feel like we say that every week about different teams.
Right, it's true. Well, and putting Tulane in the playoff picture seems to be the curse, because it was Memphis 2 weeks ago, South Florida last week. They've been losing, so now good luck to Tulane this week as an 8-point favorite.
Three of the one-loss teams in the American, and that's the conference Tulane is in, three of the one-loss teams are all on the road, all against 5-5 teams. Of course they're all going to win. I don't think that's the case. I think two or three of them could lose.
I'm pushing for North Texas. I want to see North Texas in there.
My final I'm pushing for is North Texas, East Carolina. I think that would be unreal. And then the committee and then people around the country were like, wait, we don't know that. We barely know Tulane, Memphis, you know, Navy, yeah, and South Florida. Now you're expecting us to go, you know, six deep in a conference like the American. The lack of education on college football sometimes is pathetic, and I won't even get into the Mountain West Conference. Number three. Okay, Big 12 diss or getting respect?
Getting respect. And not that I don't like it. I'm just shocked because last year it was the complete opposite, right? And, I mean, it didn't look pretty last year. They didn't have a Texas Tech that was kind of dominating. Everybody was beating up on each other like the ACC is doing this year. But I am pretty surprised to see Utah, BYU still getting the respect that they are, and I think it's warranted. I really do, but just kind of shocking to me. And you brought up Big Ten, and you know, another team that's kind of, I guess, I mean, the loss is now, but Iowa's a really good team that's nowhere to be found now on this list.
They kind of eliminated themselves in two tough games.
They
weren't expected to win against Oregon at home and on the road against USC, but they played pretty well in those games. Yeah, I feel like the CFP, okay, on one hand, I'll give them credit, because I do think Utah is one of the best 12 teams, the way they're playing right now, one of the best 12 teams in the country, but it is kind of, it's a TV show, so I'm not going to say it's cruel. They're 12, BYU's 11, Texas Tech is 5. The problem for Utah in making the title game is they need miracles now, because they don't hold a tiebreaker against either BYU or Texas Tech.
My problem is, if you're going to be a ranking, be a ranking. If you're going to be ratings, mm-hmm, and you're, I mean, they're almost kind of judging and updating like us, because they have Utah so high, right? And almost
are they thinking
rating,
like Vegas too much?
They're kind of,
or is that the way they should be thinking?
I don't know.
Because on a neutral right now, what would you do with Utah and BYU?
I would have Utah favored.
Right.
Yeah.
So I believe that's the way to approach this whole thing. And I know it's funny, because I see even people in the gambling world who can't grasp, when they know, they can't grasp that head-to-head isn't actually everything. Because in Vegas, we don't think it's everything. You could have a major upset and tell me they're going to play the next week, and you could have a 10-point favorite lose, right, outright. They play the next week. The line might be 8.
Yeah, maybe so.
That's the right?
Yeah.
And it's like, what? They beat them head-to-head. We don't care. It's a tiny, tiny sample. And I know traditionally head-to-head means everything. It really doesn't when you're putting together ratings. But I think Alex is onto something. We never really know what the CFP is using as the metrics, because they seem to change year to year, week to week, day to day.
So, I mean, looking at it, wouldn't you say that? I guess Utah is just they only have 2 losses. And both those teams are above them in Tech and BYU. So it does make sense. But I mean, Georgia Tech's 9-1 behind them, so it's not really a ranking right there. It's telling you that.
Number two. 12 best teams, according to Brad Powers, one of our college football pro bettors. He has Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, Oregon, Notre Dame, Georgia, Alabama, Texas Tech, Utah, Miami, Oklahoma, Ole Miss in. Vandy's not in there. And then some of the schools we just talked about the last couple of minutes, BYU, James Madison, San Diego State, Navy, North Texas, East Carolina, not in. I don't think they should ever go to the whatever best, because, again, there are no metrics that they use consistently. This is opinion-based, and to me, any Division I college tournament, everyone who plays Division I should be able to realize a dream as a player in any conference that there's at least a slight chance you can get on the dance floor and make the tournament. And I will always be that way. And Brad's list of 12 is subjective. They're just his power ratings. And I like Brad a lot. But I believe some teams outside this group could beat the teams inside the group. And if the gap, if there is a gap, it's very small. That's why we play the games.
Well, and I do, my list is very similar to his, but Texas Tech didn't really play a tough non-con. We don't really know how they're going to match up against these other schools either. So there is still a little piece that is opinion-based going into this. So
Number one. Well, and that's the other part of this that we don't hear them talk about enough is, hey, we'd like you to play a good non-con. But what if you don't? What if you just play crap in the non-con? You're not penalized. Like, yes, Indiana is unbeaten. But he purposely says, Cignetti, I'm playing no one. I'm going with the SEC. Plan to mock on the SEC, especially with this week coming up when Alabama plays a school like Eastern Illinois or, you know, Samford's on the schedule. Why aren't we penalizing Indiana? Like, that is a big deal that you don't test yourself. You don't take any risk in the preseason when your team's getting up to speed, which then brings the discussion out about Notre Dame and Miami. Notre Dame's 9. Miami's 13. Miami beat Notre Dame head-to-head. It was a barn burner. You can split hairs. I'm just going to say to everyone out there, and it's guys, you know, I won't even mention names, because they're starting to all fall in line with this outrage. And I guess it's some weird hate of Notre Dame. I don't like Notre Dame, so I don't have a dog in the fight. But I know what I've watched with Notre Dame. They're one of the top teams in the country. Their run game is awesome. They've got an incredibly impressive redshirt freshman quarterback. Their defense, in spite of Chris Ash, it's because of him too, has gotten better. But we've got all this freaking hand-wringing, like, Miami's behind him? I don't get it. Yeah, you do! You're lying! I'm telling you right now to your face, you're lying! Look at me, right there. You are lying! As I look into a camera, I'm not yelling at Alex. There is almost no respected college football voice or handicapper that will tell me, Miami, let's go pick 'em. Miami in a pick 'em situation against Notre Dame. You're taking Miami. You're lying. You know you are. And you can come back at me. The metrics, this, head-to-head, that doesn't matter. The CFP can do whatever it wants. You come up with all the rules you want to come up with. You're not in the room. And everyone knows Notre Dame right now is better and has more momentum than Miami. It doesn't mean Miami couldn't beat them. Like, I would love to see them play. Am I wrong screaming about people lying? Who's betting Miami right now in a Notre Dame game? Not many.
No, I agree. I think people are saying too much about they're looking at their losses, but it's really hard not to, right? When you do talk about Notre Dame, who lost to A&M and Miami by a combined 4 points, Miami's losses didn't look like that. They were a 14-point favorite over Louisville. They lost at SMU. So it's hard not to use that as a comparison, too. And Notre Dame is playing better than Miami right now.
Give me oxygen or the paddles. It's really getting worked up there. Really worked up. Let's calm down and give away some Golden Knights tickets. Blackhawks game coming up on Tuesday the 2nd at the Fortress. 7 o'clock start. That's T-Mobile. AXS.com. Vegas Golden Knights against the Blackhawks. We'll have tickets a little later in the show as well. We've got two pair today, but right now the first pair goes out. James will hook you up for some Golden Knights tickets. You can get yours at AXS.com. Again, the number 364-1100, 364-1100. Caller 7. Big day of prizes as we head towards the Josh Pastner radio show here on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Okay, Raider stories coming up here in less than 5 minutes. I wanted to follow up one more time on something else from the CFP, and that is another one of these Eliminator weekends. So I briefly mentioned the American, and the Mountain West has like the longest of long shots to get back in this. We'll get to the Mountain West slate in a couple minutes, but in the American, there's three teams that have one loss in that conference that are playing this weekend. Because Navy and Memphis is not a one-loss team anymore, but Navy and Memphis meet up next week. East Carolina, it's kind of come from nowhere. 7-3, 5-1 at UTSA, 5-5. Tulane, 8-2, 5-1 is at Temple, who's 5-5. North Texas is 9-1, 5-1 in conference is at Rice, who is 5-5. Am I out of control with claiming that at least one of those teams is going to lose to one of these 500 teams?
No, I think at least one is going to lose.
I don't believe in jinxes. I could actually see Tulane being real chill for Temple and having to play a real tight game. Like, they're the latest that's been pushed up into the CFP rankings. I'd be real careful because they've had a couple of extra lives here because the American is, you know, so deep. Just like the Mountain West Conference. Mountain West Conference has, it seems like every team has two losses. There's some bad teams at the very bottom, just like in the American, but it could be a wild weekend.
One positive for Tulane. Did you see John Summerall's comments about them being in the top 25 now? He said it feels like often we're at the bottom 25. And he said, I don't want to say too much, but I mean, if we're in the top 25, there must be some bad football going on out there.
Oh, wow.
So he's not letting his team off easy. He's not impressed.
Probably a good move.
Yeah,
don't relax. We've arrived at nothing.
Well, and UTSA is one of those teams that beat them pretty convincingly, and now they get East Carolina. So that's one that I'm definitely looking at with the home team there in San Antonio.
Alex White, Steve Cofield. Easy question. Who shows out worse on Sunday at Allegiant? We got a game on Friday, Hawaii and UNLV. We got a game on Sunday, Cleveland and the Raiders. Who shows out worse, the Raiders offensive line or the Browns' new quarterback, Shedeur Sanders?
That's really tough.
It's really tough. She went in a really deep thought. She's like, oh, that's a tough one. It's tough.
I think both of those units are in trouble, right? I mean, take the under.
Take the under. I guess the way I put it, take the over. By the way, I was really rushed today. I came in with like three of my buttons undone. Man, I got a t-shirt underneath. Now I'm showing off my gut to Alex, but man, there's another one there. Or did I pop it when I was yelling, you're lying? Last block. Screaming about people who are like, Miami should be ahead of Notre Dame. No, they shouldn't. And you know they shouldn't. But the metrics and head-to-head matter the most. Whatever. I feel confident in saying, and mark this down, 4:23 on Wednesday. I feel confident in saying that Shedeur Sanders will be worse than the Raiders' offensive line.
That's good.
I'm greeted by stunned silence. You're like, are you sure?
We're happy to hear that.
I do not think Shedeur is ready. I don't think it's because he hasn't worked with the first teamers. I think a lot of it is he does need reps, but he can't get real game reps to get up to game speed. What I saw in the preseason was a guy, and this happens with lots of quarterbacks, he just can't consistently stay on platform, on schedule. He didn't have to at Colorado. A lot of his plays turned into scramble drills. Right. And guess what? When you have one of the best receivers in the country, one of the best athletes in the country, the Heisman winner, Travis Hunter, you can run all over the field. They had other good receivers too. But you can run all over the field, and there are a lot of times defensive linemen are not going to be able to catch you. If he starts doing this, well, you know what? I'll give you a good example. With UNLV, when you watch them, and I don't think anyone's under a grand illusion that if he has a chance, it's an extreme long shot, but that Anthony Calandria is an NFL prospect. But Anthony Calandria, a lot of times you'll see him, he reverses his course. And he's fast enough in college football that he fools people. He can get around the corner. He can outpace defensive linemen and linebackers. In the NFL, like, Max Crosby is kind of moving towards linebacker size. He's not a gigantic dude, but you're not turning the corner on Max Crosby, nor are you going towards one defensive end or outside linebacker and then going to be able to run away from them all across the field. You'll either get caught from behind or someone's going to get loose in front of you, and he just, there's too much of that. And we're kind of seeing things change in the NFL. Deep, you know, we've had a lot of mobile quarterbacks come into the league and mess people up on defense. Defenses are playing a lot more discipline now.
Yeah.
You know, unless it's, Chris Jones, who lost the edge against Justin Herbert and gave up a first down, and then Drew Tranquil's like yelling at him, like,
Just play the position on the edge where you were supposed to be. And Herbert doesn't turn the corner. What are you doing? In the NFL, with more athleticism at quarterback, defense is recognized. There's a danger here. And while, yeah, it would be really cool to just freaking pin your ears back and sack, 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 like try to get sacks all the time, you can't do it. And to go back to Shedeur Sanders, he's got to get out of that mode. But I think the only way you get out of that mode is to go through it and learn. And doing the preseason probably wasn't enough. Well, now, I'm counting on the Raiders defense to make him pay for the dipsy-doo playground stuff. I think they can. But there's a slight chance maybe they can't.
No, you brought up Max Crosby and love it. But then on the other side, when you're talking about the Raiders O-line, you got Myles Garrett.
Don't bring him up.
Okay.
Don't bring him up. That ruins my theory. Yeah, that is very scary. And it's not just him. The Browns, you know, as bad as the Browns have been this year, their defense is good.
Yes. Question for you. What does Shedeur Sanders walkout look like before this game?
why are we doing a walkout?
I don't know. Remember
he's
that,
on the road.
Remember that game he okay, so he doesn't
No,
have
keep going.
Go
I want to hear
him.
What this is. What is this?
I don't that game he had one of his buddies with him in a boombox. It's when he was starting one of the preseason games.
Oh my god. the music I mean he might do it. I don't know.
No, he's on the road, you're right.
You know, the other part of this game that's fascinating is if you're a Browns fan who lives in the hellhole that is Ohio, as the weather gets worse, you know you were probably planning on a road game to go to and you booked Vegas. In spite of the fact that the Browns are terrible, what are we talking about? Less than 5% of Browns fans who planned on coming here canceling their trip, less than 2%, they're coming.
Oh, yeah.
And in a lot of ways, like they're not looking at it like I am. Like this is a disaster. And you don't have to look at it that way. I'm looking at the immediate now on Shedeur Sanders. If you're a fan of the Browns, you have every right to be excited that you're gonna get Shedeur Sanders here for a handful of games. And this is kind of I think this is what we really talked about. That this was gonna be the point where and it happened because Dylan Gabriel got hurt, but these last six or seven games, for everyone who got really mad that Shedeur slipped. He went to a bad team, a team that might not achieve this year, might get to, you know, whatever, the 11 or 12 game mark and only have like 3 wins, and it'd be perfect for him. He's going to get a half dozen games. So if you're a Browns fan, this is a good trip. I get to go to Vegas.
Yeah.
I get to take over Allegiant Stadium. And you know, a lot of the Raiders fans, because they're zillionaires who paid those PSLs of $75,000, you know, $45,000, $35,000. They're like, yeah, I'll recoup some of the money. The Raiders aren't good. I'm not going to go to the game. So they'll give up their tickets. This is actually a really cool trip for the Browns fans, and they get to see some glimmer of hope at quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, I would be shocked if anybody had canceled this trip. So we'll see.
Let's go to the
Cofield. Four wins total between these two.
Let's go to the Cofield Doppler. I assume that it is a living hell, as I said. In Ohio right now. What is the Cleveland weather?
I don't know.
Are we going to be shocked and it's like balmy 73? No, it's 42. It sucks. It's actually not even that bad for there. Man, it's not that bad this weekend. But still, it's Cleveland. 45, 49, 51 degrees, 45 on Saturday, 51 on Sunday. Overnight temperature is only like 37. Not bad. No precip today. They'll get off the plane here and be like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
Got this rain.
Exactly.
Vegas is cold. It's 58. Brr. So on the O-line front, did you find some whippersnapper who's breaking down videos and was just really cracking on the Raiders O-line on Monday night?
Yeah. At Film Watchers 1. And looked like a pretty young kid. I say that. He's probably college or so. But he did a really good job breaking down the game against the Cowboys. And just a lot of misses, and yeah, it's right there, clip after clip, to show you.
Do you think Jerry Jones, after watching Quinnen Williams, his new get on defense, do you think he hit the script club before he got on the charter plane? Was celebrating, like, just spraying champagne everywhere, like, look at this guy! Look at this trade I made! Yeah! A couple weeks from now, I'll be like, okay, well, maybe that was the Raiders' O-line, and Quinnen's good, but, like, the Jets are watching the game, they're like, what the hell? Like, yeah. We knew Quinnen was good, but... Looked Warren Sapp out there. He's Aaron Donald.
Yes,
he dominated.
Did. Yes.
That was part of the embarrassment And I know, you know, like people who really watch the Raiders, and I obviously track them here as a local radio host, but I'm not at every single game like the beat writers are, and poor Adam Hill and guys like Jesse Merrick from Silver and Black Sports Network. They were actually kind of backing me down on how embarrassing it was. They're like, well, the Kansas City game and the Commanders game and the Colts game. I got, you know what happened? I got caught up at Ellis Island. I was around probably 20% Raiders fans and 80% Cowboys fans.
Right.
And just like looking at the Raiders fans' faces when Ashton Jeanty gets the ball in the end zone, hops, and then he's like, oh my God. Like,
safety.
Yeah. I mean, you just want to look to the side, like, or look upstairs, like, Chip! What stance do I need to be in? I can't be in the Michael Myers. Is that what I did wrong here? Like, there's no stance that helps that. That O-line. Lordy. We'll continue on. I don't want to beat the hell out of it because they're right now they're in flux. But there is a good question. Why are the young guys not out there? Are there some issues with Spytek and Carroll and Kelly? Because you got to have some hope here on that line.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Don Tobel's up. We have the Westgate Saturday preview show, the college football preview show. Great on the NFL. VSiN and VSiN 1230 The Game, our sister station. So more NFL on the way. College football pros versus Joes, pro versus Joe. Justin Watkins in the 5 o'clock hour. Mountain West Conference this week, and we are less than 4 minutes away from giving away some Rebel tickets for this Ninth Island Showdown brought to you by the Cal. Rebels in Hawaii, Friday night, 7:30. That should be raucous, wild, crazy. It's a good schedule this weekend, and let's not worry about the CFP and that whole story. There still is a lot to be determined, and I don't think anyone is guaranteed to sweep the table the rest of the way. So what sticks out for you on this schedule on the highest end for the Mountain West?
Well, I mean, so five teams, right, that are 4-2 right now. So it's getting very interesting. SDSU, the lone team, 5-1. So they're all very important. And Hawaii UNLV playing on Friday, both of those teams 4-2 right now. I don't know. It's just getting really interesting. And then Boise's got a game. Colorado State played competitive last week against New Mexico. We'll see if they can give them a shot. Well, and we got to find out if the quarterback's coming back, right? And
Maddox Mattson. Maddox. Yep. I wouldn't lay 12 with San Diego State or 16 with Boise.
Right now in this conference, yeah, they've been pretty tight games, right?
Well, I also think, one, Boise fans are not happy. And there are times when you go to play a home game when sometimes you just want to be on the road. You know, there'll be a big crowd there. I think they'll have some no-shows. But, you know, based on Boise's expectations from their fans, and they're a little out of control, that they're annoyed right now. Even with, you know, an excuse like your quarterback went down. I mean, I saw a lot of people last week are like, what is the deal with this backup quarterback? You're not going to throw the ball at all? They don't feel confident they can. And they couldn't run it well enough against San Diego State. By the way, the Aztecs sucked the quarterback, too. I mean, early third quarter, the two teams had combined for like 20 yards passing total. Two teams, 20 yards passing early in the third quarter.
I believe it.
It didn't get much better.
Yeah, 17-7 final. Yeah, I mean, Boise comes into this one losing two in a row. Now at home. So it's a good point. Rather be on the road, get away from there. But
hey, latest update on Maddox Mattson. Quote, he's doing better, but starting quarterback Maddox Mattson will not be able to play against Colorado State this week, according to Danielson. So I don't think CSU can beat them. This line, I mean, I don't know that people are booking look-ahead lines 3 weeks out on Colorado State and Boise. If Maddox Mattson, I forget the timeline, but if Maddox Mattson were healthy right after UNLV had freaking smoked Colorado State, I think this line might have been 31.
Whew.
It is 16. I don't know, what would it have been, 28? Now, does Maddox Mattson make like a 12 or 14-point difference? That's crazy, right? That's crazy. Yeah. No one books like that, but 16? And I'm just saying, I just said I wouldn't lay 16.
Right.
And then, yes, San Jose State just got punked, just smacked around by Nevada. I think Nevada had kind of, you know, kind of had it built up. What is it, Christmas Story, when, you know, you get the punch in the face, right? But don't overreact. I know you don't. In the contest, in the Circuit Invitational, will you take San Jose State plus 12? Will you do it?
I mean, that's a team I like. I mean, there's spots that you can definitely back them.
A little hesitant.
And that I have.
Coming up, we're going to break down which AVT, UNLV in Hawaii, UNLV lane, 2.5 there. Let's give away some tickets for the Ninth Island Showdown. It's coming up on Friday night. You can get your tickets at UNLVtickets.com. 7:30 start. This is always really crazy. At Sam Boyd, it was just off the charts. You were out there for Hawaii games. Hawaii fans are really into it. UNLV fans, Vegas fans are really into it. And we got a pair of tickets right now for this Friday's game, 7:30 kickoff, Allegiant Stadium, UNLVtickets.com. Caller 7, caller 7, caller 7. James is going to hook you up. 364-1100, 364-1100 for the Ninth Island Showdown. Tickets for this Friday night's football game.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, let's get into, or back into, the NFL. Some college football lines as well. Alex White, Alexandra is here. Ron in Reno, Northern Nevada, and in Southern Nevada. John Von Tobel's up. What's up, JVT?
Nothing much. I am a big rain guy, so I've very much enjoyed these last few days.
So you're in a really good mood. Everyone else is down in the dumps, but JVT is dancing in the rain.
Oh, I love it. Like, I have all my windows open, you know, door to the patio open, like, hanging out on the patio doing stuff at night. Like, I love it. But, I mean, I grew up out here, so I figure a lot of people would like it, but I guess not.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I'm the same as you. The house is freezing. I got it down last night to, I think, 66, and the screen door in the back was open. Cats are going crazy. It's lovely. All right, let's start with a little Thursday night football. What are we going to do with Buffalo and the Texans?
I like Houston. I'm going to hold out to see where this goes. Last look, so keep in mind I have a look for a couple hours, but I know that there were some sixes popping up for Buffalo. But I'll be on the Houston side. I think one of the – if you – listen to smarter people than I when it comes to film analysis. I think one of the ways you can get after Buffalo is have some DBs that you can trust one-on-one to not let these guys off the line of scrimmage, these guys being Buffalo's wide receivers, and have the ability to pressure Josh Allen without sending extra dudes. That sounds like Houston to me. And I know that Buffalo's defense has had its issues here. I trust that the long-necked Davis Mills is going to have enough to get it done. Your floor, I think, is raised when you face this Buffalo defense, and I think it's going to be a tough one for the Bills. You know, it's interesting, too, and I do this exercise every week where you evaluate the market power ratings, where the market puts these teams on a basic power rating scale. The market's been so stubborn with Houston and hasn't really wanted to move it. Save for like 3 or 4 weeks ago, it started to drift, but they started to win games, ironically enough, when the market has started to downgrade them. So I'll back Houston here on Thursday night.
What do we want to do with the Lions laying a big number against the Giants?
I mean, I think the only thing you would maybe do is lay the big number. The Lions are playing relatively well. I mean, they're showing at the very least that they can beat up on these bad teams and then some competent opponents they'll probably have some trouble with. It's not one that I think you're running to bet, and luckily you don't have to bet all of them. But I'd lean a little bit toward Detroit, but I'm not going to act like I've got the strongest feeling here.
JVT, he is the host of the Saturday Football Preview Show. JVT Saturday Football Preview Show at Westgate. Give Westgate a pop here. They certainly deserve it because they host both the Saturday and Sunday show at 8 a.m. with us on the air. What do they got going on Saturdays?
Yep, and they host me regularly. I like to go out there and hang out on Saturdays and Sundays too. So I absolutely love it. Come on down. You'll see me hanging around on the weekends quite often, but it's a great spot. Booths are affordable. Call in, say what's up, and get a booth for you and your buddies. You can hang out. Even if you don't have one of the booth specials, you can go in, get buckets of beer for $20. If you sign up for the app and you haven't already, there's a special. You get a free bucket of beer with any app sign up. $2 hot dogs as well during football. And the best part is, if you're gambling, reduced juice. So -109 on the college, -108 on NFL, and on select primetime games, big matchups, they'll do down to -105 on side. So it's a great spot to be.
What are we doing with Pats and Cincy now, New England down to 7?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely a teaser leg for New England. I actually really wanted to bet Cincinnati here, but the Ja'Marr Chase suspension took me off of it. My theory being is that New England, I don't think, has been tested. I mean, their average opponent in terms of defensive efficiency ranking is 18.2. So they're facing, on average, a well below average defense every single week. And while this is going to be the same, and I'm sorry, I should flip that, offense. And so while this is going to be somewhat the same, I still think the skill positions can test a New England secondary, which has not really been tested all year long. But with Chase not out there, I acquiesce more to maybe teasing the Patriots down with a side that you like. But if you're making me pick at the current number, I'd still take Cincinnati. I just don't really trust New England entirely.
JVT, the Chiefs lose two in a row. Now they're laying 3.5 against the Colts.
Ah, come on now. This is my guys. Give me Indianapolis. I'll bite. Hook, line, and sinker. I'm in. Now, there is reason behind this outside of me just being a Colts fan. There's a small chance maybe Charvarius Ward could come back at corner for them. He's been out with this lingering concussion. If that is the case, think about the turnaround for this Colts cornerback room. Sauce Gardner, Ward, and one of the best nickel corners in the league, and Kenny Moore. Like, this team could really be something formidable in the secondary. And on the other side, look, this offense has been great. There's this odd thing that happens from time to time where people all of a sudden talk about teams like, well, you know, how are they going to perform outdoors? Their best weapon is a running back. I think they're going to be fine. And Daniel Jones still has not been asked to do that much. We'll see if Danny Dimes can hold it together. This offensive line can do it too. But, Alex, I think all these teams are really close to one another. And if you're going to tell me that you're not just going to set this at home field, which I believe to be 1.5 points, I think it's a little too much. I'll take key number and a hook. I bet Indianapolis earlier this week.
What are we doing with the Raiders? It looks like they're taking money now that Shador Sanders will be getting the start for the Browns. 3-4 point favorite at home.
I mean, I bet it under. I mean, I know we always usually do sides, but how is this anything? You guys remember like 2 years ago, was it that Vikings game where Minnesota came out? It was like a 3-0 game, and it was absolutely disgusting. I think you're getting something similar there. I mean, both offensive lines are awful. Both offensive lines will have to face a pass rush that is somewhat formidable with a key pass rusher that can have a ton of success. Both quarterbacks, one of them has been over a larger sample size, very poor. The other, over a very short sample size last week, when being thrust into action, was abysmal. This has the makings of an extremely ugly game. I know we're underneath that key total, but even 36.5, I still think it's playable under. And if you're forcing me to pick, I mean, this Browns defense is good enough. I think they can keep them inside of this number. I'll go side. If you're going to give me up to four, I'll take Cleveland.
I said the same exact thing with the under there, even at 36. Yep. Tampa Bay getting healthier here. Now they have to go take on the Rams, catching 6.5 or 7.
Yeah, you know, I loved this Buccaneers team at the beginning of the season, and they got off to that good start despite all of the injuries, but I think we're in pumpkin territory now. You know, Baker Mayfield finally looks a little healthier. He finally ran the ball for like the first time in whatever many amount of weeks against Buffalo. But their defense has just regressed so much. I mean, you saw the big plays they were giving up left and right last week. And now you get Matthew Stafford, who what? Is he in the midst of a 22-touchdown, 0-interception stretch right now? He's taking care of the football. They're playing some incredible ball. I think this is probably going to be one where you're going to feel comfortable laying that big number with the Rams, who have a 1 seed and a Super Bowl on their mind.
Jacksonville, 2.5 at Arizona.
I can't figure out Jacksonville. Like, God bless you if you can. You look at these results. I mean, we're talking about the Raiders. The Raiders look like Drek half the time, but then they get pushed into a 1-point overtime win against Jacksonville. You get blown. You blow out the Chargers, but then you blow a game to Houston. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this team. In any way, shape, or form, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I think Brisket, Jacoby Brissett's a serviceable quarterback. That number's a little short. I guess I'd be tempted by the low-hanging fruit of laying it, but I don't know what to do with Jacksonville at all.
I agree completely. Let's switch it over to some college football. We were just talking about some of these Mountain West games that are very important. So Friday night, Hawaii coming to Vegas. UNLV a short favorite. What are you doing?
Man, I don't want to be a pessimist, but give me Hawaii. I know UNLV's won 2 straight in the series. I think I have this right, Steve, in 3 out of the last 4. The Golden Pineapple has been residing in the mainland for a while, but I don't trust UNLV's defense. And this Hawaii offense is capable. I think they're pretty hungry, too. I mean, this is something they haven't achieved in terms of getting to this Mountain West Championship game, which I think is still live for them. I just haven't seen anything, despite beating up on, you know, some lesser opponents for UNLV. I'm just not there with this team. And being indoors, I mean, what is this going to be, like 50-50 by the time we get to halftime? Like, this thing is crazy. And I also, as you guys well know, they didn't deserve to win that game against Utah State. I don't trust them at all here against a Hawaii team that I think is their equal.
Deserve. They're winning games. Deserve. They make their own breaks. They're 5-1 in one-score games. As I told Dan Mullen after the game against Utah State, you are a great clutch coach. Coach?
Yes. That is sustainable, for sure. I mean, how many times? I'm sure that they – was it – were they screaming too much or whatever they did to force that kick at the end of regulation? They did great.
Sure. Remember, Marcus Arroyo was 1-10 in one-score games. Also remember that the Kansas City Chiefs at one point won 17 one-score games in a row and are now 1-5 this year.
Well, isn't that incredible, by the way? Like, yeah. I made this argument really quick today. Like, with the Chiefs, all last year we kept saying they can't sustain this. And then now this year you're saying the same thing. It's just that they're losing them. Like, oh, this can't keep happening.
Yep. Okay, some more games in the Mountain West Conference. San Jose State's got a big number here against San Diego State.
Yeah, I took the points, man. I took 12.5. So this is my basic theory. You know, I'm going to play on San Diego State when they play an offense that does not have the ability to throw a forward pass. You know, they bounced back nicely against Boise because Boise's quarterback situation was abysmal. They were playing in a monsoon. It was a game that worked for them. But I think these teams that can spread them out and throw the ball around, I think they're going to have some trouble against them, as we saw against Hawaii. So give me San Jose State here with the big number. I don't know if they'll push to win this game, but I do think San Diego State's going to be in a tough spot. They have kind of shown their inadequate defense, but they're not as good as the metrics have proven because they haven't played any good offenses. And it's not like San Jose State's the best, but that's a big number for a type of offense that San Diego State has had some trouble with.
I am really curious to hear your opinion on USC and Oregon.
Give me USC. I don't know if there's that much separating Oregon and USC. I think it's a little much now. I know it's 9.5, so I'm going to hold back and see if I can get 10. But I think some of this in this number has to do with USC's struggle since they've joined the Big Ten. My rebuttal would be they're not making these long trips to the Midwest here. This is a program that has made this trip to Oregon, not these specific players. It's not that bad going up to the Pacific Northwest here. I think it's a big number. So give me USC, they get a win, and all of a sudden then sets up potentially a UCLA game with a playoff berth on the line should they just dispatch the Bruins. So I think USC is very live to not only cover but win the game against Oregon.
I don't think you can do it, but I'm expecting you. I'm hoping you're taking Air Force against New Mexico against your boy Eck.
So I wanted to bring this up because I'm definitely leaning in that direction. I mean, that's a tough spot, right? So I took Colorado State last week. CSU almost wins the game. Now you got to turn around, go to Air Force, get ready for the option. And I made this case, Steven. I'd be curious to hear your thought. Look, Eck is a good coach, but unlike some of these other coaches that play in the Mountain West, they're used to like the, hey, 1 week you get ready for Air Force offense. That's not the case for New Mexico. I think this is a little bit more of a challenge than people expect. We had a flip of favorites. Circa opened Air Force 1, and now we're all the way to the other way, 3.5. I'll take that with Air Force.
I'm with you. I think the lack of prep, and I think down the stretch, late in the season, having to play the triple option in any of these situations sucks, and we found out last week when people were touting South Florida to beat Navy, and they got, I think, it run over in terms of the final score, but they got run over on the field. Okay. I have a big problem with a lot of the media with this Notre Dame-Miami thing. They've really taken up for Miami. I think there's a lot of Notre Dame hatred. I don't like Notre Dame, but are you on this new thing where it's like head-to-head should matter?
No, I'm on the thing where you can't just constantly decide when head-to-head matter and when it doesn't. Right. That's my problem. Now, so Stormy, who I work with, Stormy Bonatoni, she actually has some good insight into this. She did one of the mock panels one time, and apparently the way they do it is they separate it into different pools. So they rank 1, 2, 3, then they go like 4, 5, 6, 7, then they go like 8, 9, 10, 11. And so essentially when you hear them say you can't compare like losses or whatever was said yesterday that was making the rounds, it's because Miami and Notre Dame aren't in the same pool. But what bothers me is like head-to-head doesn't matter in certain situations, but it does with Oklahoma and Alabama. But also Alabama, who's got 4 ranked wins, falls below Notre Dame, who doesn't have anywhere near that many. It's just all over the place. And so while my issue is not specifically with that dynamic between Notre Dame and Miami, it is with the inconsistencies in which they decide what to rank, how to rank it, and what criteria matter and when they don't. That's what drives me nuts.
Last 30 seconds, John Von Tobel's with us here on ESPN Las Vegas, ESPN Reno. Hot topic in L.A. before the game yesterday for the Lakers, that the Lakers would be worse the rest of the way with LeBron.
Dude, people keep asking me this. Yep. How are they going to integrate LeBron back in? He's the best player in the world. What are we doing? They're going to be fine. They were great last year with him. They're going to be good. They're going to be good with him this year.
I love it. People are just searching to have some LeBron hate. And, yeah, congrats to the Lakers on the quick start. LeBron's only going to help him, and I also think he's going to acquiesce in terms of ball control. I know that seems unheard of, but I think he will do that. He'll back down.
He did it last night. He only took 7 shots in over 30 minutes.
He knows. He's not stupid. Do you want to win, or do you want to freaking score 27 a game?
Yep.
I think he wants to win. Why come back to just have another big year stat-wise?
Hey, speaking of winning, I'm about to win this bet with Justin, so make sure to remind him because I want my dinner.
I will do it coming right out. Justin Watkins is on the way. John, appreciate it. We'll be listening on Saturday, okay?
See you guys. Thank you.
Always love to hear the wardrobe commentary of John Murray, and it's very inside baseball. You got to listen to the show. There's always some good stuff between those two. It's a great combination, JBT and John Murray, over at the Westgate. Be out there for Football Central on both days, Saturday and Sunday.